Hi, my name is John Kim. I'm a therapist who went through his own rebirth many years ago, and I've been documenting my journey ever since, sharing my life lessons and revelations. I believe in casual over clinical, with you instead of at you. I come unrehearsed on purpose because self-help doesn't have to be so complicated. So just real quick, I said in the email and also on social, you know, it goes for about 40 to 50 minutes, and the session is also going to, I'm going to make it a series on my podcast, and then and also for YouTube, just to help people, because the stuff that we go through, I think, is universal. So this is the verbal consent. You guys cool with that? And let's start wherever you want to start.
We've been together for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have three kids together. I have one from a previous relationship. So okay. Together. They're grown now.
Mm-hmm.
So our youngest just turned 18. She's off to college at the end of the month. And
wow.
Yeah.
We're finding ourselves empty nesters at 40.
Yeah. That's young, actually. That's really young.
Yeah. I had my first when I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And we met when I was 18. And mm-hmm. by 21, we had all three. We were living in a little apartment. And
yeah.
Life was crazy.
Yeah, I could imagine. This is kind of the story that our parents have, right? Getting married or just running toward the picket fence very young, having more than one child, and you know, the struggle of that, and then becoming empty nesters. The kids leave, and then we look at each other and we're like, who are you?
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Well,
so what's happening now that the kids are gone? What's happening with the relationship and you guys? What's coming up?
I feel like we've had a lot of time to find ourselves in mm-hmm. In the past few years, just by spending mm-hmm. a lot of time, especially with COVID and everything being kind of closed down. It gave us more time to really connect with each other, I suppose. And then
mm-hmm.
a whole bunch of stuff came to light that was from our 20 years together. I mean, it's like, it's supposed to be, kind of, a lot of stuff happening, but you know,
well, yeah, you said a whole bunch of stuff came to light. So tell me what some of that stuff is.
Just with like, just the way that things were between us and then with, betrayals and, mm-hmm. Just trauma overall, and just like I think it was a mix of everything that just we had to shine a light on and try and figure it out for ourselves, I guess.
Yeah. So let's tighten the vise a little bit. You're being a little bit vague, Laura. Can you describe the betrayals? Describe the history and all the stuff that's surfacing.
Well, I'm gonna speak from my side of things. I've been unfaithful
mm-hmm.
on more than one occasion.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about that real quick. Tell me how old you were and what just describe.
Gosh, paint me a picture. Okay, well, I was young. My oldest was graduating grade 6. I was in my mid-20s at work,
mm-hmm.
Just made manager, promoted, really just like feeling myself, you know, really enjoying my job.
Yeah.
And kind of fading out of the home, you know, seeing that my family didn't really need me. They didn't really mm-hmm. miss me. The house was kind of falling apart, but whatever. I wasn't there, so it didn't really matter to me at that point. I was really enjoying my life at that point. I had
And when you say home, you're talking about your home. You're not talking about like you living with parents.
Oh no,
you're talking about the home of you guys, the home that you guys built.
Our home together with our children. Yeah.
Yep.
We were married already at this point for 3 years.
Mm. Wow.
So long story short. I was I got involved with a coworker.
Mm-hmm.
And that lasted for a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
He found out. He confronted me about it. I fessed up. I was honest. And I told him about it. And he forgave me, you know? And it mm-hmm. was like, we're going to work through this. And I just felt so... so lucky, you know, and I didn't know what mm-hmm. I had done to deserve this guy because I grew up in a really messy home. You know, I was yeah. never treated with this kind of compassion or understanding. Mm. And
how did that, I don't know why I called you Brett. What was your name again? I'm sorry.
Martin.
So Martin, you said you forgave her. Is there still residue from that? How did you work through the infidelity and how did that impact you?
Well, the thing is, I had my own stuff going on too.
And what like, was that? You gotta be specific.
I also was unfaithful at some mm-hmm. point in time, but I didn't tell her, and that was years prior.
Oh, before, and, right?
Yeah. So I suppose that me being so forgiving had to do with having sure. my own secret. And, just not wanting to make too many waves, right? And not to be found out.
When you found out that Laura was unfaithful, did you then come out with your secret or did you keep that secret and you because you felt whether it was karma or guilt? Oh, you kept it, right? So she didn't know you.
Yeah, I kept it for another okay. time and then I cheated again.
mm-hmm.
I guess it's
okay.
But we do, I mm-hmm. suppose. I didn't really knew at the time how to explain it to myself, and mm-hmm. I was not as aware of my feelings, I suppose, and behavior. And then
after the second time, then did you come clean to her about everything, or what was the conversation like? How did that?
Well,
how was that exposed?
It didn't. It took years actually that mm. all that ordeal happened in 2012 and that came out in 2 years ago. So mm-hmm. yeah, it was a long time of secrecy and holding information and just making shit up, I guess, you know, trying to cover my ass and
yeah. So where are we now? So you cheated a couple times. She was unfaithful. This is when you guys were younger. It's been a long time. Now the kids are gone. Where are you guys at now?
Well, since that time too, I also I had two more infidelities mm-hmm. on my
okay.
part
okay.
That I hid from him as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and same people or different people?
I had three different people. He was okay, the same different. Person both times.
Right.
Yeah. He actually. Oh.
Yeah. You can say that.
He left his girlfriend at the time for me.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Typical man. He just went.
No,
back,
but
I guess.
I'm not at the time. I wanted the competition. You know, and now I've been faced with like the competition again, and I don't feel like a winner anymore. You know, after the 20 years.
What do you mean faced with a competition? Is that person back?
Well, just with finding out about these infidelities, it comes really recently to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like his first infidelity was back in 2007. Yep. And, you know, I'm finding it about this like a year ago.
Yeah.
Exactly a year ago.
Yesterday.
This week. Yeah. I'm at the point now where I don't trust him. I feel disrespected. Mm-hmm. We had a huge talk 2 years ago where we both cleaned our slates. We put everything out on the table.
Mm-hmm.
We had a big fight. It was huge. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. We got it all out. And that was that. And then a year later, he comes out with more stuff. And I was just like, I was floored. Like, this is impossible. Mm. So now it's been a year and I'm like, okay, I'm over the cheating. I'm over the mistakes. We were young. We were stupid.
Mm-hmm.
We can get over that. I want to see changed action now. I want to see changed behavior. I want to see you as a trustworthy man who's going to be transparent. I want, and he's been really wonderful for a lot of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Martin, what do you, well, first of all, I don't think you guys were stupid. You guys were young and you guys were human and, you know, you guys got together and had children at such a young age.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's okay to cheat. I'm just saying that it,
no.
We're human and there's, you know, we get involved in marriages very fast and we're forced to grow up because we're taking care of children. We disconnect with ourselves. We can feel undesired, lonely, all this stuff, right? So all of that happened. And now, do both of you guys want this? Or are you guys on the fence? Are you guys unsure? You said, so with you, Laura, you don't trust him. So the trust obviously has been broken. Martin, do you want this? Or are you also kind of going through processing if this is for you? Are you unsure?
it's a tricky situation. Like I do want a relationship with her because she's important to me, and I know that I've managed to really not make her feel appreciated on my end of things. You know, like when it comes to our relationship, I've been. It's my thing lately. I've been saying I'm trying, and it's to some extent it doesn't feel like I am really. Am I on the fence of things? I mean, if this keeps going like this, it's not sustainable to keep going like this.
What's the dynamic? Wait, real quick. When you say like this, what's happening? Because you said you're trying. Obviously, you know, the stove is still hot for her. So what's the day-to-day look like? Is it, are you guys intimate? Is there a lot of disconnect? Is there fighting?
No, we have separate bedrooms.
Okay.
We're in separate bedrooms. We wake up together in the morning. We usually have coffee. We usually have an argument. He leaves for work and I'm pissed off. And, some days I'll text him like crazy because I'm the anxious and my nervous system is just, going. And then other days I just won't text him at all. Like I don't need him. I'm fine. So it's a really, I'm hot and cold these days. Trying to just not make it worse. You know, I'm really trying to own my own childhood stuff that's getting in the way.
What do you need to start trusting again? What do you need from Martin if you want to continue this marriage or rebuild?
I need his actions to match his words. When he says, I'll be there. When you say, you know, like it's just show me respect in those ways that I'm not going to have to call and say, where are you? What's going on? You know?
So has he been inconsistent lately?
Yes.
He's been
consistently inconsistent.
In what way? Give me some examples.
Well, for example, the other day, for the 1 year anniversary of, the day that he told me like the 1 year ago, he had texted it to me and I was like, this is the most disrespectful thing you could have possibly done. You need to redo this.
Yeah.
I need to relive this experience with you so that I can like, you're not this bad guy to me who can't face this stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And I said, I need you to be there at the exact same time that you texted me this. And I need you to be talking to me. We need to redo this. And he was late and he had the excuses. And I was just like, no, I don't want to even argue anymore.
Yeah. I can see you're tired. Martin, what are your thoughts on this? So you texted her about the infidelity, obviously, because you didn't want to talk about it. What's going on with the inconsistency?
Well, I did text her, because I didn't know how to say it or, to like come up with the right words, I guess. And it was just easier. It's like a little coward thing to do. I admit it's, you're not facing your shit like head on. Yeah, there's a lot of scary scary stuff in that. And I've never really had the opportunity to deal with the scary stuff on my own, I suppose. Like, even growing up.
What's the scary stuff? Tell me about the scary stuff.
Just being, like, rejected, I suppose, you know? Or because it's happened to me in previous relationships, too. All my serious relationships, starting from when I was a teenager, I've been cheated on. Mm. So, and it felt like it was a rejection, a big time rejection on me. And, you know, as men, you know, if you want to say it like that, it's a really tough thing, to endure over and mm-hmm. over again. And, mm-hmm. This time around, it was just really, really scary. And, I couldn't bring myself up to told her face to face. I guess it was just easier. I had to let it out in some ways, but the output was not, or the outlet was not the right one, I suppose.
Tell me about your inconsistency these days. So, you know, you're going to say you're going to be somewhere and you're not, or what's happening? How come you're not able to be consistent?
Well, I'm always, every time I say I'm somewhere, I'm either at work or I'm at home. Mm-hmm. Those are the two things. I don't have a social life. I don't have any more friends. Mm-hmm. It's a very,
why?
I had a whole bunch of friends in my teenage years, but over mm-hmm. the years, you know, you have kids and you drop mm-hmm. a bunch of them and
sure.
And then you outgrow some of them and you realize that more, your wife makes you realize that some of your friends are not particularly good people for you, right? And once you do realize it, then, you know, you tend to just drop the people as you go. And I guess that's what happened. I have my brother I'm close to, but that's about it. Yeah.
Laura, what about you? Do you have friends and hobbies and stuff? Or what is your life look like?
No. I've completely isolated myself over the last few years. I've gone no contact with my family. Mm. I've just really been going inward and trying. I've been doing a lot of parts work. I've been trying to just figure myself out.
Lots of trauma growing up?
A lot of trauma growing up. Yeah.
Broad strokes, what kind of trauma? Just abuse, I'm assuming?
Pardon me?
What kind of broad strokes, what kind of trauma growing up?
Addiction, sexual trauma, mm-hmm. Physical violence, from the moment I was born, my home was
unsafe.
It was very unsafe, very dangerous place for children.
How do you think, you know, in my head, I'm putting a lot of bookmarks that I'm going to get back to. Mm-hmm. How do you think that trauma has manifested you in relationships, especially this one as an adult?
Well, in the more recent years, I'm mm-hmm. going to say it's embedded in my system. So there mm-hmm. are some things that have come to light that have just it's like reliving the trauma. So I've actually had moments where I feel like I black out and I become very violent. Like I'm trying to protect myself.
Right, right.
So
got any kind of help treatment for the trauma? You never were? Okay, so that's okay. And then real quick, so Martin, did you also grow up in a dysfunctional container as far as childhood? What was your upbringing like?
I think my upbringing was as common as you could, mm-hmm. That's the best way to say it. As common as can be, I suppose. I was nice family. Everything seemed to be in order. You know, mm-hmm. there's the residual stuff from when I was a kid, like given the silent treatment and stuff like that, you know, like the regular trauma that people go to, I suppose, and regular family. it's not.
How did that trauma? I mean, there's no regular trauma. We all interpret trauma. It manifests in us differently. How did that manifest in you? How do you behave in relationships because of that upbringing?
Well, I have my inability to communicate it's one of the things that I'm really just starting now to do a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's really hard to find the words and to feel like I'm being listened to, I'm doing a lot of work on that, and she's great at listening. She understands, and she helps me a lot actually in terms of just teaching me that it's okay to feel what I'm feeling. And
yeah,
you know, yeah. So yeah.
Well, both of you. So here's how I would like for you guys to see cheating/infidelity. It's easy to see it as betrayal. Of course, it feels that way. People being dishonest and, you know, cracked trust. I want you to see it as a way of coping. I want you to see it as the reaction to other things that are happening inside self, right? So both of you guys have had traumatic upbringings. One person, lots of trauma in childhood that hasn't been processed or looked at. So you're feeling probably very unsafe and also re-traumatized, you know. Infidelity can be activating that. You being unfaithful can be a response to that. Martin, you not being able to express yourself. This is all going to be new for you to learn how to. I mean, the texting is a good example of that, right? It's really easy for someone to judge you texting that information and, you know, calling you names or you labeling yourself. But I think if you look at it more as not having the tools or the ability to, right? Because we want to, I don't want to minimize infidelity, but it can't be the monster. Do you know what I'm saying? You guys are both human. You guys both have stories like everyone else. And the infidelity was the response or reaction to deregulation, to coping, to numbing, to running, to whatever that is, right? And also, a lot of it happened when you guys were young. When we're young, we have less tools, right? So now you guys are 40. My first question is, do you guys want this? Meaning, are you willing to roll up your sleeves and really work on this? I don't know what resources you have. Like, obviously, you know, I can't in 50 minutes, you know, fix your marriage. This can be a first domino. This can get the conversation going. But working on yourselves, right, I think has to happen first or simultaneously as you work on your marriage. It's less about the cheating. It's more about you guys building your own lives, right? So a big thing for me is if you guys have no friends and you guys have, you know, no kind of like life other than work and you're just kind of functioning, there's going to be a lot of weight and pressure on the relationship. So you're going to be looking at him. He's going to be looking at you. There's going to be a lot of dependency, a lot of enmeshment, right? And so things that are not big can blow up and become huge because you guys don't have much of a life outside of the marriage. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So part of working on yourselves would be to actually start creating your own life. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's...
Well, like that's the journey we're on, I think, a little bit. Okay. In the past, yeah. Little bit. My career is as good as it's going to get. I mean, I love what I do. I'm a carpenter, and mm-hmm. you know, it's just fun, and I like that, you know. And so whatever else I have to worry about is, you know, like home life and my relationship and just.
What else do you do besides career? What are other areas of, like, what do you spend your days doing besides when you're not working?
Not much.
Laura, why do you look suspicious?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of YouTube.
Okay, so you're just at home? You're just at home watching YouTube?
Just at home, a lot of the time. We hike a lot, okay. Actually. We like to go on hikes and stuff like that. You know, like just screw around in the garage, motorcycle, or just cutting wood, or, you know.
And Laura, what about you? So do you work from home, or you work? You go somewhere for work?
I'm home right now. I'm not working.
Oh, you're not working. So how do you spend your days?
My days are spent journaling, reading. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of IFS work. I do a lot of trauma education. Mm-hmm. Trying to know myself and why I feel the way I feel. Making sense of it, like owning my story. And I want to make something out of it for myself. I want it to be something I can stand on.
Yeah.
Not feel like I'm stuck under.
What else are you doing as far as career? Are you taking a break?
I'm just looking for something part-time, just something easy around the house, like something close to home. I don't really want to get involved too much in anything that's going to take up any of my, I'm focused on myself right now, and I have the luxury of like being able to do that, but it's not sustainable. So I am going to have to
slowly get start back building. To
work. And that scares me. That scares me.
And why does it scare you?
Because I have a really huge neglect wound that I don't really know how to take care of myself. Like making appointments for myself, I have a difficult time doing those things. Like I'm really learning to do, but it's so funny because I worked for years as a manager of a company. Like I ran, like I managed 100 people. Like it wasn't, but I was so shut down to myself at the time.
Yeah.
I breezed through it. I was on autopilot. And now it's like I've resensitized myself.
You know what? You know what's interesting is I wonder if so then when you were doing that, you were in survival mode. So you were autopilot, right? So you you were surviving, even though you executed because it was life or death. It was a way to survive. Now you don't need to survive. And at least for right now, you're saying you're okay. You don't really need to work. You do eventually. We get that. And so what's going to happen is a lot of reparenting. Now that you are more calm, now that you're not in survival mode, you are learning how to be an adult. You are learning how to, you know, manage emotions. You're also being very activated with the infidelity, him being inconsistent, all of that stuff. So what's happening for you is a lot of reparenting. So I don't think you're regressing. I think you're not in a state of survival, which is actually a good thing. And if you're not used to that, especially if your childhood has been nothing but traumatic and fight or flight survival mode, then it's going to feel really uncomfortable for you. You're like relearning how to like, you know, ride the bike again.
Yeah,
or maybe for the first time, not relearning.
I said it to my husband today. I said, I feel like I was born into my 20s. Like the things I was exposed to as a toddler were the things that people are exposed to in their 20s.
You know? Oh, so you had to grow up fast. You're saying you had to grow up fast. So yeah, basically, right. Yeah. So it's almost like you had a disconnect with you become an adult when you were a kid just to survive. And now you're an adult and you can almost like go back to being a kid. Go back to, I mean, not being a kid, but go back to addressing the part of you that was ignored.
Yeah. And, you know, we're implementing more play. We're implementing more like nature outside, you know, a lot of the things that we did when we were kids that made us feel better.
Yeah. It's just a matter of finding a little bit more variety of activities, not always the same stuff, because I'm a creature of habit. And, I find safety in the regular everyday routine, getting up at the same time, you know, two cups of coffee, and by 6:15 is getting the car, and you know, so it's going to new places can be challenging sometimes because of just like she's on edge, and I tend to be on edge too, just because lots of people a lot of the time, and we're not super social creatures. We haven't been
socialized.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. You guys are on an island now.
Yeah,
it's the Blue Lagoon.
It was nice when we were both really unhealthy and we didn't know better.
Sure, sure. That was the Blue Lagoon because it was exciting and sexy. Now it's a different island. It's yeah. So let me ask you, or I want you to do something, Laura. I want you to turn to Martin and tell him what you need. Tell him what you need these days now, right? So obviously consistency. So I want you to look at him, tell him what you need.
I need you to prioritize showing me respect. I need to experience you as a respectful, loving, honest man. I need that. I need to have that experience from you. I need to know that you have changed. I need to see the change. I can't just hear about it anymore. I can't just take you at your word. Your word has meant nothing. I need to see it. And I need you to
Martin,
prioritize.
What's your response to that? Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay.
I will put more effort in showing you that you are worthy of my respect. Or that sounds weird. I don't want to say it like that, but you are worthy of my respect, and I want you to feel it. I'm going to put more effort into showing up for you in ways that you need more. Like,
and what does that effort look like, Martin?
Texting her good things, you know, and while I'm
as
at work.
As opposed to what?
Letting her know that I cheated on her by text, you know, like, I mean.
Oh, you're using that as an example.
Now,
okay,
just like making an effort to really
be attentive,
yeah, and show that I'm thinking about her and that I care about how she's doing at any time of the day, kind of, you know?
I do like it when I know that you're thinking about me during the day.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Martin, I want you to think of something when you are practicing this, when it comes to respect and trying to give her a new experience. You're not doing something for her mind. You are actually, the goal is to give her body the experience of feeling safe. So whether we're talking about respect, safety, trust, it's not like a logical thing. You could be like, here's a contract. I'm going to sign this, right? It's not going to mean shit. She wants you to convince her body through experience that she can trust you again, that it is a safe space. So how you do that is on you. I'm not saying it's easy. It depends on your story and what you're able to do and not do. But yeah, of course, seeing effort, because she knows you well, is going to inject hope, and it's going to make her lean in more. So however you want to do it, I want you to not make it a logical thing, but do your best to ask yourself, what would it look like for me to give her body the experience that she can trust me? So yeah, it might be, you know, texting. It might be being attentive. It might be, you know, buying her flowers, taking her. I mean, I don't know. Whatever you come up with, that's on you. But that is the practice for you. If both of you guys don't feel safe in this, it's not gonna. There's nothing. Yeah. There's no wings to this. You know?
Yeah, there is a feeling of that feeling of safety on both ends. I guess it's been damaged. It's been
sure. It's been... So well, I was gonna ask you now. You look at Laura now. Tell her what you need.
I need you to use kinder words when talking to me. I need you to make me feel safe in my environment, I guess, or in our relationship. And I don't really enjoy being yelled at or called names. Even though to some extent it's like, you know, like it's deserved to an extent, but yeah, I guess it's a respect thing for me too. I just want a little bit more respect and a little bit more kindness.
Laura, what are your thoughts on that?
You're right. I've been awful with my words. I've done a lot of damage with my words. Yeah, I can do that. I can, if I can at least not make it worse. So I will use kinder words. And when I get angry and when I get activated like that, I will walk away before I will be aware. And I would like you to make me aware if I'm not aware, please.
Yeah.
I know.
So for the first session, and we're kind of coming to homework, and this is it. This is the homework for the first session. You know, you can't give too much, or people do nothing. So the homework is, and Laura, you tell me, and then Martin, you tell me for this week, what is the homework? So Laura, you go first.
Every day I'm going to try and say something really kind. I'm going to try and intentionally say kind things. You need that. And right, I need to practice doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost that.
You guys mentioned name calling. It sounds like there's been a lot of character assassination and lots of, sounds like to me that you're getting heated and of course explosive and all that. So doing your best to monitor that, right? So to yes. Be aware when the reaction is coming and see if you can put a speed bump. And if you can't, you know, we know where you're at and what you're struggling with. You also have to be gentle with yourself as well. But noticing, and like you said, okay, I'm going to go take a walk, or I'm going to say, hey, listen, I'm flooded right now. I'll be back. I'm not leaving, but I need to go for a walk. Stuff like that can be very helpful, okay. Right? Okay.
Yeah. Like my personal homework would be to stay in my body and monitor.
Respond instead of react. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, to take a breath and give yourself what you need, it could just be a beat. It could be a walk. It could be, like, hey, Martin, I don't need anything, but I need you to hold me. Like whatever you feel that your body needs, you know what I'm saying? But working on that. And then Martin, what are you going to work on this week? It's based on what she says she needs.
Just more attention when it comes to especially during the day. I know that she needs that a lot, and for some reason I don't do it. so I'm gonna really put more effort to doing this because it's important. I want to reverse that.
Show you know, the word that comes up for me, I want you to like brand on your forehead is consistency.
Yeah.
Consistency is what builds trust. She doesn't trust you because you have been consistently inconsistent. So that could mean a lot of things. But this week, can you be more consistent? So if that's your North Star, whatever you're doing, you know, actions lining up with words, or if you could say you're going to be somewhere, or if you say you're going to text, like, you know, that kind of stuff. And I think the little things go far, especially right now.
Right. Yeah. It has to say somewhere, right? It's,
can you be consistent?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to do my best. Yeah.
So let's start with that. That's the homework. You know, when I was talking about you guys, you know, building your own life, I mean, that's not something you do over the weekend. That's, you know, that's a direction that you guys are going to head toward. And I do think having your own friends is important. I think having your own hobbies and passions and all that, you know, and then, you know, that's how you start to build your relationship with yourself, right? So I think both of you guys being on that journey is important. And of course, talking about it with each other, doing it together. You know what I'm saying? If not, it's a pressure cooker. If not, you guys have a lot of skeletons in your closet and you guys are on this island and all you guys are doing is just looking at each other, you know?
Yeah, I do a lot of that.
Yeah. And it's going to amplify a lot of stuff. It's going to amplify anger, resentment, and all of that stuff. So, simply put, kind of getting out of your house and out of your head by building your own life container, you know? So that's the macro. That's not something, I mean, that's what you guys are starting. I mean, obviously, you know, in a week, you're not going to come back and suddenly have, you know, that down. But I think that's the beginning of this. So I'm saying that because it is important. I'm saying that because we're not meant to just sit in a house and love one person. And that's our life. You know what I'm saying? It takes the pressure off our partners when we are building other things like friendships. And passions and all that. Okay, well, listen, this is session one, and if we can do it same time, I'll email you guys. Let's do it again next week, and we'll see where you're at with it as far as homework.
Okay,
perfect.
All right, great meeting you guys. Awesome. Great meeting you guys. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Nice meeting you too.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Be well. Yep. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks.
Bye. Okay, so this is the. Commentary, I guess. You know, a part of this for me that's a struggle is, you know, trying to pack as much value as I can in one session. You know, the thing about the internet and what I'm doing here, helping people, I may never see them again. You know, I may only get 50 minutes with them. So a part of it is just creating a safe space and being a quote unquote therapist and processing. But processing, it's a lot of sessions, you know, it could be 100 sessions, right? So you can only do so much in one session. That's why I always give homework. So I'm kind of pulling from half therapist and half relationship coach. I have to be direct. I can't just be completely neutral because I have, you know, 45, 50 minutes and I may never see them again. So I'm trying my best to hold space and also pack a punch, be a catalyst in some way. And I know that sometimes that can't be forced. And that's why all of this is an art. And that's why you can only do what you can do and hope, you know, and hope for the best, right? I can't control people, sessions, their growth, any of that. I could only show up, be present, and do the best I can to be a catalyst. So, you know, this story really tugs on my heartstrings. I mean, married at 16, you know, kids, both people from traumatic childhoods. And Martin, I think, was minimizing his trauma. I don't think he's aware that just because you weren't sexually abused doesn't mean you're not impacted by trauma or the imprints of trauma, right? Depends on how you absorb it. So, I think he's been through a lot that has crippled self-esteem, self-worth. I think a lot of his infidelity is seeking that worth, you know, a lot of the cheating. I also know that, you know, being in a marriage I don't know when they got married, but they've been together since teenagers, you know, they're 40 now. So. Yeah, of course there's going to be drift, you know, and I think what's important is to know that they got involved and in a way because they were parenting in their early 20s already, their early 20s got stripped from them. So they never experienced dating. And one night stands and, you know, getting drunk and all the shit that we are exploring in our 20s that they skipped. So they just went from being teenagers to marriage to parenting. And I think a lot of the response of that, you know, that kind of piece in your life when you're meant to explore and wake up with people that you don't like and get your heart broken and all of that, there's a natural thirst for that. And I think the cheating, some of it may be due to wanting to quench that thirst, you know, missing out on most of their young adult years, you know. Now, does that make it right? Of course not. But it makes them human. And I think a combination of a lot of things at one time can get people to drift and act out, be unfaithful, you know, numb, hide. But now they're 40, and I applaud their courage to want to rebuild trust again. And we'll see what happens. I gave them some homework. We'll see if they show up next week. And we'll see all the things that come up, you know. I also believe that their situation is compounded by them not having their own lives. So no one to talk to as far as friends. I mean, ideally, of course, you want therapists, you want friends, you want, you know, a lot of people don't have those resources. But if you only have your partner, it's so, there's just so much pressure, you know. It's putting two people inside a jacuzzi, and you're trying to cool off, and it's just hot, and people are on top of each other, and there's no space to breathe. It's important that they start to build their own lives, their own passions, their own friends. They go on their own inner journeys, you know. This actually makes each other feel safer, ultimately, and this is going to, this distance is going to help with enmeshment, codependency, and all the things that we get heated about that maybe we wouldn't if we didn't just put all the pressure on the marriage and each other. Anyway, I'm losing my voice. Thank you for listening. You could also watch if you want to see them in my ugly face. I shouldn't joke like that. Sorry, I didn't mean that. On YouTube, The Angry Therapist. Be well.